With Montana News, I'm Eric Whitney. Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke, who is President-elect Trump's pick for Secretary of Interior, had a four-hour confirmation hearing before a Senate committee today. Zinke faced a broad array of questions on everything from management of federal public lands and energy development to tribal and water issues to wild horse management and climate change. He said he'll approach the job by taking the long view.
Let's be bold. Let's not come in with agendas. Let's come in with where we want to be 100 years from now on our public lands. And there are certain things we're going to agree on. I think there's going to be a lot more we're going to agree on than disagree.
In response to a question from Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, Zinke said he does not believe climate change is a hoax, as President-elect Trump has said. But Zinke said he thinks it's unclear what influence humans are having on climate change. Sanders countered by asserting that there is scientific consensus that human-induced climate change is significant and dangerous. New nationwide rules to curtail the practice of burning off excess natural gas from oil and gas wells on federal land took effect today after a judge said he saw no urgent reason to block them while a lawsuit proceeds. A U.S. District Judge in Wyoming ruled yesterday that he couldn't immediately conclude that the Interior Department had overstepped its authority with the rules. Environmentalists say the decision will allow the government to begin collecting royalties on wasted gas.
I'm Rachel Kramer. Leave your guns at home. That's the message Whitefish City Manager Chuck Stearns sent to neo-Nazi organizers who proposed an armed march against the city last month.
They can come, assemble, and march and exercise their free speech rights, but they can't do it carrying weapons.
The armed march was originally supposed to happen yesterday, but organizers failed to complete the city's special event permit and pay a $125 application fee. The Daily Stormer website announced last week that it was postponing the march until sometime in February. Stern says the city's attorney found a state law that allows towns to prevent people from carrying weapons during a public assembly. So, the city decided to ban them from the proposed march. Stern says that many Whitefish residents wanted the city to prevent the march from happening. But while they can't do that, it's unconstitutional.
At least we can prevent it without weapons. And the weapons, I think, are really what took this to kind of a higher level than other marches around the country.
Stearns notified organizers of the decision last week, but has not received a response. The partial closure of Montana's Colstrip power plant could come earlier than planned. Documents released today detail Washington-based Puget Sound Energy's plan to retire two of Colstrip's four generating units, the result of an agreement reached last year with environmentalists, requiring two units closed by July 2022. Puget Sound says that could happen sooner, given that co-owner Talen Energy wants to exit its role as the plant's operator by mid-2018. Puget Sound also suggests an early closure could be prompted by a proposed wholesale energy tax increase in Montana aimed at helping the community of Colstrip. Montana officials are searching for ways to fund a proposed two-year plan to combat the spread of invasive mussels. On Monday, the Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation and Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks laid out their $10.2 million plan to the Joint Appropriations Subcommittee on Natural Resources and Transportation. The plan includes increasing the number of watercraft inspection stations, creating decontamination stations, and increasing water sample collections. Missoula High School computer science students have developed an app concept that's taken top honors in a statewide competition. They now need Montanans to help them advance in a national contest. Sentinel High School sophomore Preston Stevens was part of a student team that participated in the Verizon Innovative Learning App Challenge. Their challenge? Create an app that solves a problem in Montana. Stevens says his team looked no further than the local public school system's own website.
The websites and the apps that we have are inaccessible, and we wanted to make it better so it's easier for the students and the teachers to work.
Stevens and his teammates worked out ideas to make it easier to navigate and interact with the system. They also had to create a video explaining everything. It took the competition's Best in State award and won $5,000 for Sentinel's computer science program. The next step is the national competition. Massachusetts Institute of Technology engineers will help the winning team turn their concept into an actual app, and their school will win an additional $215,000. The winner will be selected by a vote. To find out how, visit mtpr.org. I'm Rachel Kramer.